More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, an awesome sense of entitlement. Got a demanding person in your life. We'll help you deal gracefully with those people who always want their way. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, An Awesome Sense of Entitlement. And I came into that phrase, years ago now, where I was counseling a family, and the parents were complaining about their young child at the time, and I was saying, you know, you're describing somebody with a really awesome sense of entitlement. And they said, that's it! I think we all have that person that pops to mind, you know, when we say, you know, an awesome sense of entitlement. There are just certain people, whether it's a child or an adult or an elderly adult, who is just demanding, who wants what they want when they want it, and you're going to comply, whether it's good for you or good for them or not.
Well, I mean, I really did have that experience with a boss years ago.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
You know, and on the one hand, you're saying, well, they're the boss. Of course they're entitled to certain things. But in the role of boss, in whatever situation you're in, they are supposed to take into account the good of not only the workplace, but the people in the workplace. It's not, there's no role in life that just allows a complete open door policy to tread on everybody else's needs and their life, except, and I'm going to say this, perhaps infancy. Because they can't do anything for themselves. So infants, you know, are, when they cry, they need to be responded to. But as we grow in capability, then the concept, and we'll discuss this a little bit more later when we talk about the theology of the body, the concept of mutual self-donation starts to come into place. And that's something that we start to incorporate in family life and should be expected in adult relationships.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the theology of the body, which of course is what we talk about on the show all the time. But even in Pope Leo's new document on AI,
where
he talks about the inherent dignity of each person and what that really means for our relationships with each other and the world. It's a part of the document, but it's an important part of the document, and it's a thread that, you know, doesn't just begin and end with St. John Paul. It runs through all the popes since. This idea that healthy Christian relationships are based in mutual self-giving, and we can be generous to others while acknowledging that the needs that God's given us deserve to be met too.
But that is something that, as Catholics, we realize that it requires finesse. We realize it requires prayer and guidance of the Holy Spirit, because mutual self-donation is not what the world would interpret it as. It's not a game of tit for tat or a game of chicken. It's not that terrible advice couples used to get, you know, a few decades ago where, well, you make a list and he does all of these things and you do all of those things if you're the woman. And it has to be completely balanced. And if they don't meet this criteria of having accomplished these things for you, you withhold. Like, it's not a worldly idea. It's a very finessed idea based in love, you know, real Christian love.
And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But give us a call, 877-573-7825. Are you dealing with somebody in your life who always seems to expect you to drop everything for them? Does your spouse or your parent or a friend or someone else who's close to you treat your time and energy like it belongs to them? Do you feel guilty for even wondering if you're allowed to have or meet your own needs or set a boundary, like you're being selfish or unchristian if you did it? Is there somebody in your life who takes and takes but never really seems to give much back, and you're not sure what to do about it without blowing up the whole relationship? Well, let us help you learn to love the demanding people in your life without losing yourself in the process. 877-573-7825.
Well, and I'm going to add a little something. If you think that maybe this is kind of tapping you on the shoulder because you think, wait a minute, all of my adult children owe me for raising them and giving them so much. My spouse owes me. If you're that person that's thinking, oh, wait a minute, maybe I need to adjust my relationships a little bit so they're more balanced, more life-giving to all of us, but I don't know how. I just thought people should do these things for me. We'll talk with you about that, too, if you're trying to finesse that. The other side of the coin matters.
877-573-7825. Today's show, An Awesome Sense of Entitlement. We're talking about dealing with demanding people gracefully, whether that is that child, that spouse, that friend, family member, you name it. We all have that person. Let us help you manage them gracefully. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, you can reasonably ask, what is some theology you have to tell me about demanding people? Well, turns out quite a lot, actually. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He said, basically, look, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading an abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we are not just called to love. We're called to love responsibly. And that distinction matters. Because a lot of Christians have been talked into believing that love means giving people whatever they want, whenever they want it, regardless of the effect that it has on them. But the feeling that guides that impulse is not true Christian love. It's what Pope Benedict in Deus Caritas Est called sentiment. When we act on sentiment, we choose whatever makes ourselves or the others feel better in the moment, whether or not it's the right thing to do. Authentic Christian love is guided by something deeper, a genuine commitment to work for our own and the other person's ultimate good.
Well, and that's right, of course, but that's exactly where most of us get tripped up, with demanding people especially, right? We feel bad. They make us feel uncomfortable. Maybe we feel guilty or anxious or obligated.
Or maybe we just want them to leave us alone so we do what they want us to do.
All the above, right? We feel like we have to say yes, or we're being unchristian somehow. And the other person might even tell us that. But what's really happening there is that we've let, what you were talking about, Lisa, sentiment stand in for real love. We're reacting to pressure instead of responding to what will actually bring out the best in us, in the other person, and make our relationship healthier and holier, too.
So if you're dealing with someone who always seems to want their way, and you feel guilty every time you push back or think of pushing back, that guilt isn't coming from the Holy Spirit. It's the enemy's voice, whispering that your needs don't matter as much as theirs. God created your needs. He gave them to you. Your needs, your time, your emotional energy, those things have value because you have value. Protecting those things is not selfish. It's how you stay healthy enough to keep loving well.
You know, St. John Paul was very clear. Authentic Christian relationships are rooted in mutual self-giving. Responsible love is a love that exhibits a responsible generosity, you know, meeting other people's needs in ways that bring out the best in us, bring out the best in them, and make our relationships healthier and holier. That's ultimately how we build the kingdom. Okay, so they're the broad strokes. That's what we're all shooting for, right? How do we make that happen for you in that particular relationship with that specific demanding person in your life, whether that's your kid, whether that's a younger child or an adult child, your spouse, a family member, a friend?
And we have to realize that these things are complicated. It's not just about pushing back. It's, well, if I don't do this, this whole thing is going to get really complicated for my relationships in general. People will turn against me. People's needs won't be met outside of just the demanding person. We realize it's complicated. Let us help you untie some of those knots today and be loved and learn to love authentically. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord. Let's start taking your questions. In the name of the
Father,
the
Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we want to be generous, and we know that you call us to be generous. But there are lots of people in our lives that seem to take advantage of that, where we feel like they're just taking and taking, and we're not sure whether it's okay for us to have needs, much less get them met. So we ask you to help us to approach those relationships as your servant St. John Paul taught us, that healthy Christian relationships are mutually self-giving, and that we can be generous to others in ways that allow them and others to meet our needs too, because you are the author of our needs, and you speak to us through our needs, and you help us to find fulfillment and growth by meeting those needs. So help us to be generous to others in ways that are truly good for them, for us, and for our relationships, so that we can build your kingdom in all that we do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
All right, today's show, titled An Awesome Sense of Entitlement. We've all got that one person, at least, in our lives who can be a little demanding, and we love them. Sometimes they're hard to be around, but we love them. How do you set those boundaries? How do you make sure that your needs are getting met while you can still be generous? How do you navigate the conflict or tension that might be there? 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a question that came in from Natalie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Idaho. She said, my 6-year-old is so ungrateful that it's really bringing out the worst in me. Every single day, it's the same. He wants what his brother has. He wants more of whatever he just got. We went to the store last week, and I let him pick out a toy. And before we were back in the car, he was asking why his brother's toy was bigger. I made cupcakes for his class, and he told me they weren't as good as the ones his friend's mom brings. Oh, man, I feel that in my heart.
I mean, she really should have just made better cupcakes.
Oh, my golly.
Sorry.
I know he's six. I know kids do this, but it's constant, and it's wearing me down. I catch myself snapping at him or just giving in to him to shut him down. And then I feel guilty either way. My husband says I'm overthinking it and he'll outgrow it, but I don't want to just wait and hope. I feel like I'm either raising a kid who thinks nothing is ever good enough, or I'm the mom who loses her temper over cupcakes. How do I teach gratitude to a child who seems to think the world owes him everything? And that's Natalie in Idaho.
Natalie, thank you for the question. And you know what? You actually intuit the answer in the very last thing that you wrote there, where you said, how do I teach gratitude to a child who seems to think the world owes him everything? I'm not sure where this idea came from. I've seen it a lot. And it's just, honestly, maybe been in the last 10 years or so, where parents think that kids should just be automatically good, and that if we punish the bad behavior, good behavior will come out. But like, so we're shocked when our kids do things like act selfishly or aggressively or impulsively.
The other side of that sword is what Natalie's husband said is he'll just outgrow it.
Yeah.
So it's not hitting on what Natalie is saying here in her last line, which, how do I teach him? It's like, oh, well, if we wait long enough, he'll just
come into being
a perfectly regulated, self-giving, loving, responsible human being.
Yeah,
and
so
that doesn't work.
Both of those things are
errors.
Like, kids aren't naturally good, and they don't naturally become good if we leave them alone long enough. they have to be taught. They have to be taught to be generous. And like I said, you're intuiting the answer to your question here, Natalie. So, even though you're intuiting the answer, the underlying kind of implication is my son should just know how to be generous, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's your fault. I'm saying that that's something we all just kind of automatically assume. Why isn't this 6-year-old just being generous? Because we need to teach them. And here's what I want you to do, all right? So step one, I want you to have a conversation with all the kids. And say, you know, generosity is going to be the virtue we work on this week. By the way, we talk about this in Parenting Your Kids with Grace. It's like we call it virtue training. And you just identify a particular quality that's really lacking in your family life. And you sit down with everybody and say, okay, we're going to really work on being generous. Now let's each of us think about what does that mean? Like, what would it mean for you to be generous? Pick a situation and let's figure out what that would look like. And everybody kind of goes around and you help them figure out a situation that comes up where you'd like to see them be more generous. And then you coach them on what that would look like. Then you say, okay, every morning, we're going to remember this. I'm going to say to you guys when we have our morning little prayer time, we're going to say, okay, remember, we're working on being generous. Imagine the day. What's one situation that you can think of where you might need to be generous? And tell me. Right? And this whole thing takes 2 minutes, right? Keep it short.
And I think that in addition to this, right, because you're training him to be more generous, you're training the whole family to do this, you also want to say at the end of the day, okay, were you grateful? Did you say thank you to this person? Did you have your eyes open for this? Because you're teaching him to give back in the virtue of generosity. And with that, because now he's putting in the effort, he's going to want people to be grateful to him as well. And so when we say at the end of the day with our check-in, if we haven't said thank you yet, let's acknowledge what each member did for us and say thank you aloud now. Got this going in full cycle.
Right. Okay. And so, and by the way, thank you for the, because I said generosity. I was talking.
I think it was the Holy Spirit because it works in that cycle. Yeah. Without it, it doesn't work.
So the other thing though that you when there does need to be a little bit of a consequence here, and the consequence is if you are acting ungrateful, I will remind you once. I'll say, hey, that's I really need you to be more grateful. Can you show me what that would look like? If you don't do, if you need another cue, you will lose the thing that you've been given. And here's why. Because we need to love people more than things.
Right.
Right? And so I can only give my child or anybody good things to the degree that it works for their good. And if my giving you a good thing makes you a selfish, nasty person, I can't give that to you because you're not mature enough to handle it.
But again, you're not, you know, Natalie, you're saying you don't want to be the mother who screams over cupcakes. You're letting them have this chance. You're not screaming and yelling. You're not saying, you're being so, you know, ungrateful, I'm taking this from you. You're building this virtue training in your family because virtues are nebulous. You know, when we teach our child, this is an apple, this is a shoe, this is a chair, they're objects that they can see and connect with. When we say be more generous, they need the training in that experiential, virtue it is. It's not seen, so right. You need to make it seen for them.
So I'm going to encourage you to download the podcast for this a little bit later on and play this with your family to start a family conversation about making this happen. I'm also going to encourage you to download the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission. We do parent coaching and creative resources to help you really live all this stuff out in your home and create that loving, connected, and caring Catholic family life. Check it out, Catholic HOM. Wherever you get your apps. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your questions on our show titled An Awesome Sense of Entitlement, as we talk about dealing gracefully with those demanding, kind of self-centered people that we all have in our lives. How do we manage that in a way that keeps up the relationship in a healthy way? 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls. Plus, we'll be talking with Ellen Holloway from ReclaimingCatholicIntimacy.com. She'll be sharing some insights from Genesis on how we can deal with those demanding people gracefully. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations, without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sickness. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, our show is titled An Awesome Sense of Entitlement. We're talking about dealing with demanding people gracefully. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Ellen Holloway. She is an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. She's the founder of ReclaimingCatholicIntimacy.com, which helps Catholic wives discover grace-filled ways to improve the most intimate part of their marriage. Ellen, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you were sharing with us over the break that you have an insight from Genesis 1 that kind of speaks to this whole topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just reflecting on this topic. I think it's so important. I was thinking about how we really find the deepest level of our humanity in mutual self-gift. St. John Paul II, he really discusses this in depth in reference to the creation stories, both Genesis 1 and 2. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. And the Trinity is a communion of persons. There's this ongoing giving and receiving of love that constitutes the Trinity, really. And that giving and receiving is what we image in our relationships. But it can be really easy to lose the mutual part of that and feel like always, right? And always giving, like we always have to give. That's, you know, quote, the Christian thing to do. But we're made for communion, like being made in the image and likeness of God. It means that our relationships with other humans image that communion of the Trinity, which is this never-ending, it's a never-ending cycle of giving and receiving love. And it is in receiving that we actually are able to become an even greater self-gift. So we actually miss out on an element of imaging the Trinity if we're not receiving in our relationships.
Well, sure. The quick way I try to explain that to people is just the idea that you know, yes, when I'm being generous to somebody else, I'm blessing them with my gifts. But when I allow someone to be generous to me, I'm allowing them to bless me with their gifts. And in both cases, that's a beautiful thing. It's being a kind of a receiving giver, a giving receiver, I guess, as St. John Paul talked about it.
Right. It's just this, and we see that so much actually in the body, right? The female body is actually like designed to receive. And that, like, we can allow the biological of the body to help us understand these deeper theological, deeper spiritual truths. Like we see that, okay, there's this physical reception that happens. That means there is a spiritual reception that must happen in our relationships and not just our, you know, husband-wife relationships. This applies to all of our relationships.
Every human relationship, yeah.
Exactly. And I just love that the theology of the body shows us really that our bodies help us understand these deeper truths, and we can just look at the physicality of it and go, oh, okay, that means something. It means something that the female body is designed to receive. And so we can understand that, you know, in that receiving, the female becomes an even greater gift of self. And so that makes sense that as humans, in receiving, we become that greater gift of self to the other person.
Well, and I think your comments are particularly appreciated by a lot of women who get the idea that they're not allowed to have needs, you know, as moms, as wives, that it's all about taking care of others. And I think that there's a special burden that's placed on a lot of Christian women to feel like, you know, well, I just, the best way to be a holy person is to deny the fact that I have any needs.
And that it can create a very toxic relationship where the man is constantly saying, well, you're just supposed to give me everything, you know, and and he never has the experience of giving and learning how important his love and his giving to another is in his ability to develop into a full person either. So there's a lot of truth here, Ellen.
Ellen, thanks so much for being with us. It's a pleasure talking with you. And if folks would like to learn more about your important work, I really encourage them to go to ReclaimingCatholicIntimacy.com, ReclaimingCatholicIntimacy.com, to learn more about God's plan for that most intimate part of your marriage. And we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Our show today titled, An Awesome Sense of Entitlement. You know, we all have that at least one demanding person in our life. And we love them, you know. We do.
Or we have to live with them, whether we love them or not.
Yeah, exactly. But it can be kind of hard, right? Because they're demanding. And they want what they want when they want it. And whether it has any effect on us or not. So what do we do? You know, how can we be healthy Christian people in those situations where, you know, we have that demanding person? 877-573-7825. If you are dealing with somebody in your life who expects you to drop everything, who tends to treat your time and energy like it belongs to them, if you feel guilty, looking for your own needs or setting boundaries, we want to help you learn to love those demanding people in your life without losing yourself in the process. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Believers who respond to God's word and become members of Christ's body are intimately united to him, the Catholic Catechism tells us. In that body, those who believe are united with Christ through the sacraments in a very real and hidden way. The body's unity does not do away with the diversity of its members who engage in a diversity of functions. The unity of the mystical body triumphs over all human divisions. As St. Paul says, there are no Jews, no Greeks, no slave, no free man. All are one in the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body of the Church, the principle of creation and redemption. We are united with Christ in his Passover. All his members must strive to resemble him until Christ is formed in them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Do you ever feel stuck between being too harsh and being a pushover? Like the only options are to blow up or give in? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I talk about how most relationship conflict comes down to good intentions expressed in bad ways. Think of it like this. The person who's driving you crazy is usually trying to meet a legitimate need. They're just going about it in a way that makes you want to pull your hair out. And honestly, we all do the same thing. We want to be heard, so we yell. We want peace, so we shut down. Good intention, bad method. Once you learn to look past the behavior and identify the need behind it, everything changes. You stop seeing the other person as the enemy and start partnering with them to find a better way forward. That's learning to love with your eyes open. For more tips on dealing with difficult people and relationships, see God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, an awesome sense of entitlement. We're talking about those demanding people, those intimidating people, those people who kind of expect to get their way. And, you know, we don't want to be mean. We don't want to be selfish.
We also don't want to cause pushovers, though. You know, and we don't... Sometimes they're outwardly saying all their demands. Sometimes they're just pressuring you in subtle ways. But somehow you are the one doing almost all, if not all, of the giving. And they're doing all of the taking. And maybe you're just tired of that. Or listening today, realizing, I thought I was being a really good Christian in this, but maybe I'm not being such a good witness. So what do I do about it? Well, you start by giving us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And we got a call from Marie listening in Maine.
We did. And she said her older sister is very controlling and just wants to be the head of everything. She said if we try to plan a trip or something, she will plan everything. Now, the older sister is 10 years older, so Marie says she has a tendency to relent to her a lot, but how can she now set better boundaries?
Okay, great, Marie. Thank you so much for the question. And I want to start with kind of the most benign approach to this and then sort of step up from there, because... You know, a lot of times when you describe a family dynamic where, you know, she's just used to being, you know, second mom.
Yeah.
And you're used to being the little kid.
It just keeps rolling no matter how age you are.
You know, and it's possible that she doesn't really like being the planner.
Yeah. I mean, she might have gifts to do that, or it might have been something that was just thrust upon her in life because she's so much older than you. And it's just rolling along. And you don't know, but she might be sitting back and saying, why doesn't anybody ever help me? Why doesn't Marie take some of this load? So, as you said, you start with the obvious.
Like I said, yeah. And if you were on the call, I'd ask you those things. But let's just start there and kind of work out from there. So step one is just kind of clarifying and saying, hey, you know, I want to make sure that we make room for X, Y, and Z that's important to me and my family. Okay, so you put that out there and you see how she responds to it. Now, ideally, what she'd be able to say is, okay, well, and we want to do X, Y, and Z, and let's make a plan where we can do all those things together, and you figure it out. If she says, oh, no, that's not going to work because, you know, I want these things, then you can say, oh, well, that's perfectly fine. You can do those things. We're going to do these things to make sure that we take care of A, B, and C, and we'll join you when we can on this other part. That's perfectly okay, because we feel selfish a lot of times putting our needs out there. But God is the author of our needs. That's one of the insights of the theology of the body. He gave us a body, and the body has certain needs in order to function, in order to grow, in order to thrive. Our mind has certain things that it needs to develop and to become everything we were created to be. And God created us to become everything we were created to be. St. Irenaeus talks about the glory of God as man fully alive. We get there by getting our needs met. Now, we have to learn to do that in ways that it's generous to others, but it doesn't mean neglecting or pretending that we don't have needs. We honor God by meeting those needs in graceful ways. So, by saying to your sister, hey, these are the things that I or my family need, let's put those into the plan. If she says, well, no, I don't care about that. We're going to do my thing. That you have the right then to say, well, we will join you in these ways. You know, here's how we could join you if that's your plan, while still meeting our needs. So we're going to go do these things, and when we're done with those things, then we'll join you. And if she gets upset about that, you can say, well, I'd be happy to come up with a plan that would work better for you as well, but we definitely need to include these things. That's not being selfish. That's honoring the needs that God built into you or your family to function well and to thrive. And it's giving your sister and the rest of your family an opportunity to be generous to you, which is good for them as well, right? So it's not just a matter of knuckling under and doing it. So my hope is that by being a little bit more assertive on the front end and saying, hey, can we make sure that we make some time for X, Y, and Z, that she'll say, oh, yeah, absolutely, how will we do that? If that doesn't happen, you can still press a little bit more on that. And if it does cause drama, then you look down the road and you say, well, you know, maybe next year we need to take our own vacation. You know, maybe this is not the trip we need to be on. You know, or you know, we love our family, and so we're going to take our own trip over here. But you know, we'll spend a day with them over there.
Yeah.
You know, so you're maintaining, and we're going to just suck it up for that day because that's how she is, and we want to maintain the relationship. I mean, that's an option too. But you don't have to deny the needs that you've got.
And it's a good litmus test when you start out a little bit that way to see. Is she really a control freak? Because sometimes that's the family dynamic with some people. Or is she willing to hear you out? And if she is, you know, if she's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we can fit that in. That's when you step in and make sure you're generous enough to say, now, I know this is something I want to do. Would you like me to plan that and actually make the reservations for this outing that I want to do, or that restaurant that we would really like to check out? And is there anything else that I can take off your plate to help you? Because you've always been so generous in planning everything. So you're talking to her with the presumption that A, she will be flexible, and B, that she has just been playing out this role and she might actually want an extra pair of hands helping her out in this. That's really going to show you, is this the kind of person who, you know, if suddenly you bring a different potato salad to the 4th of July picnic, it's considered a betrayal of family history.
I mean, it is.
And, and then you're going to be, you know, there are people who are that locked into, it's got to be the way it's always been because, you know, I wore blue shoes for this event and now everybody needs to wear blue shoes to every event because now it's family lore. Or has it just been a pattern that's sort of developed over time because she was the big sister and you were the little sister, and now in your grown-up years, that all kind of levels out because you both have full capability. So test it out lightly, as Greg was saying, and then go from there. And if you really see that she's just being, you know, cast in stone about things, then you can begin to say, you know what, we're going to do this other thing this year, but I'll meet you on this weekend at this place if you want to get together.
If you know, if you want to kick this around some more, you can always reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, would also be a great resource for you. But Marie, thank you so much for the question. Give us a call back and let us know how it goes. We can coach you through any other steps or celebrate successes as well. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
Bear one another's burdens so that you fulfill the law of Christ.
And again, this is St. Paul, right, saying bear one another's burdens.
See, that's the emphasis, the way you read it. Because the way I read it, people might say, well, then I am supposed to take on everybody's needs, everybody's burdens. See, I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. But we cannot miss the one another's burdens. It's not just bear one another's burdens, meaning you go bear
everybody's burdens.
It's one another's. There's that mutual self-donation language even here in Galatians 6.
Well, and look, this is why the theology of the body is so important. So St. John Paul developed the theology of the body in part in response to the Second Vatican Council, where he was kind of saying, you know, the church was saying, you know, the church has kind of picked up a lot of stuff along in the 2,000 years we've been around. Let's really look through that and see what things, you know, are relevant for this time and what things are just eternal and what things, you know, are really help us connect with the grassroots of our Catholic faith. And that's why St. John Paul then kind of talks about mutual self-giving, because St. Paul talked about it.
That's right.
In the very first century, right? We're getting back to the roots of what authentic Christian love looks like. And we are taking your calls on that at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Are you dealing with somebody in your life who always seems to expect you to drop everything for them? Your spouse, your parent, your friend, your younger or adult child, or someone else close to you, treat your time and energy like it belongs entirely to them. Maybe you feel guilty even wondering if you're allowed to meet your own needs. And you're hearing us talking about, well, we honor God by meeting our needs, but that just sounds selfish. And you want us to talk you through it. Well, look, whatever the situation is, we're talking about dealing with those demanding people, whether it's dealing with the demanding person or the effects they're having on us. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. 7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, an awesome sense of entitlement. We're talking about those demanding people in our life that we care about and we want to be there for, but sometimes they can just be too demanding, you know, and want what they want, the way they want it, when they want it, regardless of the effect it has on us, or whether it's even good for them or not. 877-573-7825. Call up and share, are you dealing with that demanding person in your life, whoever they are? We want to help you learn to love those folks without losing yourself. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have a question here from Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And she says, I volunteer at my parish, and there's a woman on our committee who has somehow made herself the unofficial boss of everything. I think everybody just saw somebody on their committee at church somewhere in their brains. She assigns people tasks without being asked, changes plans other people already agreed on, and if you push back even a little, she gets tearful and says she's just trying to help. Everyone else just goes along with it to avoid the drama, and I've been doing the same thing. But last week, she arranged the entire schedule for our summer program without consulting anyone. And I realized I was angry. Not just about the schedule, but about the fact that I've been swallowing this for 2 years. I want to handle this the right way, but I honestly don't know what that looks like when the person seems to genuinely believe they're doing a good thing. How do I address this without being the one who caused a problem at church? And that's Maria in San Antonio, Texas.
Ooh, well, now see, I had an answer for you until you said that last thing.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one who caused the problem. And I agree. I agree, because there's this tendency that Maria is pointing out where when we're the first ones to get fed up with one of these kind of committee situations, if we don't consult everybody else, if we don't get the sense of what everybody else is feeling about it, then we can then be the same person that's causing the problem, where suddenly okay, this we'll just, Maria, just for the sake of it, because you don't give us her name, we'll say Peggy. I'll pull it out of the air. No offense to anybody named Peggy. Peggy's been doing this and making all these plans and planned out the whole summer, and somehow she thinks she's doing everybody a favor, maybe, or maybe this is just her style. But then if we're suddenly the ones to say, enough is enough, we want to be part of this, we're a committee.
Yeah, Peggy.
Then we end up just being, you know, the same situation everybody. Everybody's sitting there with their mouths open.
Why is Maria causing drama?
Right.
It doesn't matter. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So we can't just come against it and then we get blamed for everything.
So we
appreciate the nuance in your question.
Yeah, there are a couple of things you need to keep in mind here. Okay, so if it's just specific to you, where she says, you know, I need you to do thus and such, if it would be a good thing to do for the project and it would actually work for you, then this is one of those times where offering it up, the old Catholic practice, might actually be a good thing. The spiritual work of mercy forgiving wrongs,
bearing wrongs patiently,
yeah. Because it doesn't really matter. I mean, it rankles, it's irritating, but it doesn't really matter. And in fact, what she's asking you to do is good for the project and something that you can do without too much difficulty. That's not a fight you need to have. Okay, if it's something that either jeopardizes the project. Well, no. Let's say it's something that's good for the project, but it's bad for you. You can gently say, "Hey, listen, this isn't going to work for me. I'd be use what we call the qualified yes. I could do this, but I can't do that." And see what she does. Hopefully, she'll honor that. And again, I know she's not in charge, but she's kind of the de facto, you know, head poobah. So you know, so why again? Why fight a revolution over this? It doesn't really matter that much. If as long as it's working for the good of the project and you, okay. So if it's not working for you, you can say, "Look, I can do this, the qualified yes technique, but I can't do that," and see what happens. If she says, "No, no, no, you have to do this," you're free to ignore that because she's not the authority. And you can say, "Look, I'm this is just not going to work for me. I'm sorry." And if she says, "Oh, no, you're just going to have to handle it," you've told her what you need, and she can live in her little fantasy world if she wants. You don't have to do that.
And then you're really setting a good example for everyone who suddenly goes, I was allowed to set limitations around this? Like, in the back of their own mind, they're going, "Oh, she's not backing out of the committee. She's not causing a fight. She's just saying that she's got, you know, contingencies around this. I wonder if I could do that, too."
And to use a silly example and go back to your potato salad you were talking about before.
So
she asks you to bring the potato salad, but you're allergic to mayonnaise or whatever, potatoes. And you say, I can't really do that. She says, no, you have to do it. And I know this is a stupid example, but you get my point. You don't have to do it. And then there's no potato salad at the party. And everybody's like, why isn't there a potato salad? And she says, "Well, because I told Marie to make it." And you said, no, I told her that I'm allergic to whatever, or I couldn't do. And I explained that to her. She just wouldn't accept no for an answer. And you're addressing the issue by creating a little bit of conflict, but in a healthy way. It's not, you're not being petty. You're not being mean. You're not creating drama. You just didn't do the thing you couldn't do, and you let the consequences play out.
Now, that works for you to be able to deal with this a little bit at a time, and I think it's the right way to go. There's also the larger idea where you're not going to be snooty about this, but if she just comes in as she did and lays down the entire summer program sketched out on the calendar for everyone, this is already done, so don't make a fuss about it now. The next time she does something like that, say, "Thank you so much for all your work on this. Let's all take some time to read this, and then we can vote on whether it works for us
Perfect.
Or not.
Perfect. Exactly. That's right. So it's not you.
It's
you're
not
facilitating
you.
A process where everyone gets to chime in on it.
And you're being grateful. Gracious. You're being gracious. You're not saying, "Why did you do this?" You're just saying, "This was so kind of you. This is really thorough."
You could probably even do that now if not enough time has passed. You know, if you just
timing or if anybody's already agreed.
I had a chance to look at this. I see how much work you put into it. I really appreciate that. Let's put it to everybody else and see what they think. Right? And then you just facilitated the conversation. You don't have to create drama. You don't have to call her out for being bossy or anything.
Yeah, and then if the whole group goes, "No, we're thrilled. This is great," then you know that it's, you're just going to have to go along to get along. But if everybody starts to go, well, you know, I do have a problem with this schedule, or what about this situation? This doesn't work for the church, or whatever that is, you've opened the door up with stating your gratitude first. Thank you so much for doing all of this all on your own like that. It's very thorough. Let's talk about, you know, if this works for everybody now.
And then, you know, what we're really doing here is trying to find the balance between assertiveness and prudence, right? You know, the, yes. And what that requires you to do is, on the one hand,
again, I'm just going to jump in because this goes right back to what we were talking about with our first caller with the six-year-old, or was it?
No, the six-year-old, yeah.
And looking at the virtue and teaching virtue, and this is a way to sort of not only apply virtue to ourselves, but bring out the virtue in another person subtly and without huge confrontation.
Right, and so the assertiveness is allowing you to kind of put your needs out there, or even put out the question, is this system that we've created kind of unconsciously with, you know, Peggy being the major domo, or is this something that we really need to talk through? And you know, so you're being assertive in that way, but you're also being prudent in the sense that this is not a battle that's worth burning down your church about, or you know, burning down your life or reputation about.
True.
So it's a matter of being able to keep that perspective. You know, if this was something life or death, if this was something to do with the dignity of the sacrament,
well, I was going to say that is one thing that we didn't mention, but it bears, like, overtly, it's going to bear overtly saying it. If somebody on church committee comes up with something and it is not in line with the integrity and teaching of the church, the actual, our Holy Mother Church.
We're going to have clowns then, juggle the host.
Yeah, I mean, you know, God forbid. God, I can't even. I don't want that image in my head. But if it is somebody who is just so enthusiastic that they don't even look at church teaching or what's appropriate in the situation that's being planned for Catholics, that you have to, you know, very, very kindly say, oh, I'm sorry, but this isn't actually in alignment with church teaching. We're going to need to change this. It's okay to be very
firm on
that.
And talk to the pastor about it.
And then,
yes,
and then bring in the pastor on the whole thing. And hopefully you have a well-aligned pastor. So,
all right, Marie, thank you so much for the question. And I hope that that gives you a way to both be assertive and prudent, and kind of find graceful ways to challenge the dictator.
The dictator. And again, with all of these, it's a matter of mentally, emotionally taking a step back, taking a deep breath when we find ourselves hitting that line. You know, our other caller was like, I've just had it. After 2 years, I've just had it. When we get to that point, we have to say, all right, let me look for the virtue in this that I want to bring out in this other person and that I want to bring into our relationship, and think of the most respectful way to be able to bring that about, giving them the benefit of the doubt that somewhere in them is that virtue. And only if they are, you know, adamantly refusing to be a virtuous person do we have to escalate it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we've been talking today about this idea of an awesome sense of entitlement, and the fact that people who are demanding can tend to prey on the idea that somehow to be Christian means that we just do for others. We just are there for others. And God does call us to be generous, very generous, right? To use everything that we've been given, even our bodies, to work for the good of others. That's a principle of the theology of the body. And it's a basic principle of the Catholic vision of the person. But again, that's all based on the idea of we image God, like Ellen was talking about in her segment, that our relationships are supposed to reflect the love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, St. John Bonaventure talked about how, and we use this image a lot on the show, how this Trinity is like a three-bucket water wheel, that each bucket, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is pouring itself out constantly, but never running dry, because it's always being filled up by the other two buckets. So everybody's being as generous as they possibly can be, but never burning out, because the other people are being as generous as they can be, the other persons of the Trinity. And that's how our relationships, human relationships, made in the image and likeness of God, are meant to be. And we build God's kingdom by doing the hard work to make those relationships look like that. That, by the way, is what redemptive suffering looks like, because it's hard. When you go to a demanding person and you say to them, hey, you're being demanding, you're going to suffer for that. Right?
In some way, shape, or form.
But if you do the work where you're saying, well, hey, look, I want to honor your needs. I do. But we need to do that in a way that's respectful of our needs, too. Let's figure this out. And you're doing that hard work of building a relationship rooted in that Trinitarian love, right? To use that big language. But it's that's how we build the kingdom of love, the God's kingdom, by working to make our relationships reflect the way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to each other. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you would like some help in making your relationships a little more mutually self-giving, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.